Without any further ado, I am going to the Word of God, and I ask you if you would indulge in a few moments of pure concentration on the Lord and upon His Word. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, and then we're going to pray. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And God gave me this message, and I share it with you, hoping that you will value it as much as I did when God spoke it to me. And I simply call it a message to the water saved. A message to the water saved. You'll understand in a moment. Now let's lift our voices. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 I praise you. I lift up your name. I exalt you, God. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Let's send up some praises to the Lord. I love you, Jesus. You are awesome in this house. You are awesome in this house. Hallelujah. You are merciful. You are gracious. You are kind. You are good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, and your mercy endureth forever. And we give you praise and we give you glory and honor. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. I will yet praise the Lord. I will yet praise him some more. I will praise him because he's good, because he's worthy. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. How many tonight would admit that in the last few days, you have been renewed in the Holy Ghost? If you're not ashamed of that, hold your hand up. I'm going to come down and I'm going to yank your hand up for you if you don't do it. So, hallelujah. God has renewed virtually everybody that's been in this place. Thursday and Friday, Sunday morning, and now Sunday night. I have something very exciting to share with you, so stay with me. The Amplified Bible says of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, now these things befell them by way of a figure as an example and warning to us. They were written to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction. We in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation and concluding period. And I think those of us who have been together for the last few days and evenings are realizing that these are the concluding days. The age is reaching its climax and the concluding period. Now, the happenings in the Old Testament are written for our instruction. The things that befell the Old Testament people of God were painstakingly written down and carefully preserved for thousands of years for the New Testament church, but most importantly for the end time New Testament church upon whom the ends of the world are come. Written for we in whose days the ages have reached their climax as an example to fit us for right action. There are some very important critical lessons for end time Christians hidden in the happenings that preceded Israel's great escape out of Egypt. I know lots of folks are studying the book of Revelation. That's good. They're looking in the book of Daniel. That's good. But some of the most important prophecies concerning the church are found in the book of Exodus. In the last days of the Old Testament church, before it was miraculously delivered from Egypt. And when we look at the Old Testament, we find that these lessons are designed particularly for us. Number one, to remind us who we are. Number two, to know what position we as apostolics are to take. Number three, to know what we should be doing. And number four, finally, what to expect in the days ahead. I'm going to cover just a little bit of that right now in the name of Jesus. Now let's take a look, a new look, at the man called Moses. Moses' life, as you know, was completed in three periods. Moses lived to be 120 years old. His ministry to lead the people of God out of bondage began with a burning bush experience. And the Bible says in John 1 and 17, the law was given by Moses. In other words, Moses received the word of God, and through Moses, it was given to the world. Are you still with me? We know about Moses. We've all studied him. And the exciting part is yet to come, so stick with me. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now, as I lay the foundation for this message to the water saved, I want you to understand that possibly Moses was not intimately acquainted with the Hebrew tongue so as to speak it clear and distinctly. He was raised and educated in the courts of Pharaoh, and his first language would have been classical Egyptian. The first 40 years of his life, he had spent in Egypt, chiefly at the court of Pharaoh. And though it is very probable that there was an affinity between the two languages, yet between the Egyptian classical language and the Hebrew language, they certainly were not the same. I think you all probably know, folks, that English is their second language. And so it's a little more difficult to speak when it's your second language and you have to think about what you're going to say and possibly translate it in your head before you speak it out in another language. My hat is off to those of you who are bilingual or trilingual. I think that's wonderful. But I know that when you're speaking in a language that is not your first language, you have to carefully consider what you're about to say before you speak. Now, a friend of mine was preaching down in one of the third world countries, and she said something about being as poor as Job's turkey. And the translator looked puzzled. And then she said, and Job's turkey was so poor, he had to lean up against the fence to gobble. Again, the translator looked puzzled, and then the translator said, the lady has said something very funny. Please laugh. The second 40 years of Moses' life was spent in a place called Midian. And it's not likely that the pure Hebrew tongue prevailed there, though it's probable that a dialect of it was spoken. And for these reasons, Moses must have found it difficult to express himself with that readiness and persuasive flow of language which he would have felt necessary on such a momentous occasion as addressing the people of Israel. Though Moses was slow of speech, yet when acting as the ambassador of God, his word came with power. At his command, the plagues came, and at his word, the plagues were stayed. Thus, together with God, he was mighty in words as well as in deeds. It might encourage you to know that God uses broken vessels. Don't look around and say, oh, that guy's not perfect, God can't use him. Oh, that gal's not perfect, God can't use her. For one thing, I would have to ask you, who are you to judge another man's servant? But I'd also would remind you that God has made it a record of his to use broken vessels. Why? Let me just deviate just for a minute. Gideon's 300 were using broken pitchers, broken pots, and they were used of God, 300 men, to defeat 135,000 of the enemy. And the Bible said they just stood in their place, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. You know, by the time I get done tonight, the devil's going to be running and crying and fleeing. I'm fed up with him. I'm fed up with every dirty trick of the devil. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he knows he has but a little time left before the Lord Jesus Christ splits the clouds of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't realized this yet, you need to understand, I've been saying it in every message, you should be expecting Jesus to come tonight. What would you do if you knew Jesus was coming tonight? Who would you go to if you knew Jesus was coming tonight? What would you say and what would you do? Because unless you were expecting him to come, chances are you will not make the rapture of the church. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. The Bible said he's coming for them that look for him. You better start looking up. Now, I can't stop the prophecies from being fulfilled. I can't control all the stuff that's going on in our world. And there's an amazing amount of stuff that is fulfilling Bible prophecy. Jews were just airlifted out of Ukraine and sent back to Israel. Another prophecy fulfilled. All the bloodshed and the sorrow and the coming of the one world government, I cannot stop that from happening. I can only tell you that it's very close to being the real thing that's going on. But there's one thing between us and that one world government, and it's called the catching away of the church. And you need to be watching and waiting and looking. You've lived for God, some of you, for a long time. What a foolish thing it would be at this last moment, just before the second trumpet sounds, the last trumpet sounds, to be distracted and be with the crowd of people who are left behind to face the judgments of God. But you, beloved, were not appointed unto wrath, but to salvation. There's no guy in here. If there is, I'm going to sic Tyson on him. But there's no guy in here that would ask somebody to marry them, take them under the bridge, break their nose, bust out their teeth, black their eyes, and then take them to the wedding. And the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. If you wouldn't do that to your engaged fiance, neither would Christ do that to his betrothed bride. He is not going to break your teeth out, break your nose, black your eyes, and then take you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I'm here to tell you that people who are left behind are going to have their teeth broken out, their nose broken, and all kinds of stuff that's going to happen. And it's coming faster than what you realize. So I say unto you, watch. I say unto you, beware. I say unto you, look for the coming of the Lord, because truly it's more likely that he'll come tonight than that he won't. Got awful quiet in here. But I'm glad that God uses broken vessels. Actually, they were pots. And thought comes to me. God used crackpots. He did then. He does now. Don't let the devil beat you up because you're not perfect. Don't let the devil beat you up because he's whispering in your ear, you're not good enough. You don't deserve it. I got news for you. You'll never be good enough and you'll never deserve it. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. It's his amazing grace that reaches down into the heart of a man and cleans him up. It is the power of God. It is not your own abilities. So God uses crackpots. Now, let's go back to Moses. God commissioned a stammerer to deliver his people out of Egypt. We know that Moses is one of the types of Christ found in the Bible. Both the Apostle Peter and the first martyr, Stephen, preached that Moses was a type of Christ. They said, this is that Moses which said unto the people of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. So we know that Moses is a type of Christ. But the other day I was praying and reading my Bible, and God began to speak to me, and I saw something I had never seen before. It literally made me shout for joy as I began to understand what God was showing me. I see now that Moses is also yet another type. We've understood for years that Moses means drawn out or drawn from the water. But I was reading him, and I understand that the Alexandrian Jews and the Jewish historian Josephus, in his writings known as the Antiquities of the Jews, book 2, chapter 9, verse 6, translated Moses literally as, quote, water saved, end of quote. They said the name Moses means water saved. Now that puts it in another light, and all of a sudden things begin to fall into place, and I realized that God was giving me a piece of the puzzle that I'd never seen before, a piece that I needed to see and understand. Moses, the water saved, remember, his life was complete in three periods. The water saved today are complete in repentance. Water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I was in a general board meeting a few weeks ago. I was sitting on the front row. And some of you might know a lady by the name of Flo Shaw. She's the leader of our World Network of Prayer. She came to the podium to address the general board. And she said, I had a dream. And I won't tell you the whole dream. But part of the dream was, she said, there was a child that said, Mommy, I see Moses in the backyard and I see Moses in the front yard. When she said that, the Spirit of God came upon me and I rose to my feet in front of that general board. And I said, I will tell you what that dream means. God has shown me that the Moses of the old in the backyard, the water saved of the old is the water saved of the new. And what Moses, the water saved, accomplished in the old, that Moses, the church, the water saved, will accomplish in the new. The power of God fell in that boardroom, and we understood what God was saying unto us. I see now that Moses, the water saved, his life was complete in three periods. The water saved, and I'm just going to call him the water saved now as what his name means. The water saved lived to be 120. And there were 120 in the upper room. The water saved began his ministry to lead the people of God out of bondage with a burning bush experience. And the Bible says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And all of a sudden I begin to get a revelation that God was given to me. I said, oh my God, can this really be? And as the more I read it, the more I realized the water saved of the Old Testament had a water and fire experience. He began in the water. He concluded in the fire. He had a water and a fire experience. The water saved of the Old Testament was slow of speech. He was, according to historians, a stammerer. And the word of God declares, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. I don't know if you're starting to get it yet or not, but I want you to know that the water saved of the Old Testament and what was accomplished by the water saved just before the miraculous deliverance are the same things that God is going to allow the water saved in the front yard to experience just before our miraculous deliverance by way of the catching away. Why don't you just lift your voice and your hands and pray that God would let revelation come upon your heart. Let revelation come to you. I have set my mind to know and my heart to understand what the Lord is saying to the church in Peterborough tonight. I have set my heart to understand what it is that he's saying to us. So understanding that Moses, the water saved, is not just a type of Christ, but is a type of the end time church. That shouldn't surprise you any, because we are the body of Christ. So knowing that, then I begin to go back and I said, okay, God, you're not just showing me this just so I can make a comparison. I'm going to look to see what you said to the water saved in the backyard so I can know what to say in the front yard. So I went back and I began to look at the word of God. And the first thing I came to was Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. To the water saved. A message to the water saved. To those baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Moses serves as a type of the church, the body of Christ. Well, that shouldn't surprise you, because Peter said, baptism doth now also save us, not to put in away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. We are the water saved. Baptism doth now also save us. So I go back and I say, okay, what did you say to the water saved back then? He said, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. And immediately the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, what do you see? What do you see? Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the Queen. Pussycat, what did you there? I frightened a mouse under the chair. So the pussycat goes to the palace, and all the pussycat sees is a mouse. Doesn't see all the glory, doesn't see the crown jewels, doesn't see the monarch sitting upon the throne. All that pussycat can see is a mouse under the chair. I'm going to tell you something. Look at me. You're never going to have anybody that loves you more than I love you. Your greatest enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy is not some person. Your greatest enemy resides between your ears. If you miss heaven, you're more likely to miss it because of your carnal thinking than anything the devil ever did. Because Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It is not the devil that's scuttling your boat. It's you that's scuttling your boat. I'm starting to feel it now. What do you see? God said to the water saved in the Old Testament, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. God told Abraham to lift up his eyes, look from the place where he was. My God, folks, you got to look, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. How long are you going to look down? How long are you going to look back? You're going to make the crookedest furrow that's ever been made in a plowed field if you're looking behind you and looking beside you and watching everybody else. It's none of your business what everybody else does. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost is saying to you as an individual. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I like what God said to Abraham. I'll get back to Moses. But I like what God said to Abraham, because Paul said, if you be Christ, Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? And to Abraham and to his seed, he said, all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, to Abraham and his seed. And if you belong to Christ, the Bible says you are Abraham's seed. And I ask you this question, what are you seeing? Are you seeing fearful things? Are you looking at the devil as though he is an opponent that's about to devour you? Are you looking at your city as though it's going to be impossible almost to overtake the spirits of the city? Are you looking at yourself as incapable and unable? Are you seeing yourself as indefensible? Are you seeing yourself with all your faults and failures? I'm going to tell you right now, lift up your eyes. What do you see? And here's what God said to the Old Testament water saved. He said, see, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh. God's going to clear up somebody's vision tonight. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Over all the power of the enemy. Worry, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the Lord God Almighty has made his drawn out, drawn from the water, water-saved church, a God to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, obviously, is representative of Satan. And God says, I've put you as a God to him. You're not to walk around in fear of the devil. You're not to walk around as though the devil is about to devour you. No, you are to stride out and you are to say, I want to tell you something, devil. The God of heaven has called me. I am the water saved in 2022. You knew the water saved back in the days of the Old Testament. Now you're going to get a look at the water saved in the front yard. And the same God that helped Moses is the same God that will deliver the water saved. I noticed that as the end of God's people's time in Egypt approached, God changed the Egyptian perception of the water saved. Before it came to the last several days, few days before the miraculous departure, four times Pharaoh said to the water saved, pray for me. Before they had despised him and despised his ilk and despised the people. But by the time God got through with them, just before their departure, God gave them respect. And God changed the position of the people. And he said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment. You shall put them upon your sons, upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. The Good News Translation says they carried away the wealth of the Egyptians. You can receive this or not, but I will tell you what the Holy Ghost is saying to me. We are living now, from now to the coming of the Lord. We're going to see buildings and properties and abundance of wealth miraculously transferred to the people of God. A friend of mine, his grandfather lived in New York City. A swindler couple came through and they began to swindle his grandfather and grandmother out of their house. If you know anything about New York City, if you own a postage stamp house, it's worth incredible money. The swindler couple, it was a man and a woman, husband and wife, began to deceive and do dirty things. And finally, it went to court. They came to the courthouse and the old man came with his lovely wife of so many years. They walked into the courtroom and there was the swindler and his wife. And there was the judge sitting on the bench, and the swindler's wife looked up at this man of God, and she began to curse him. She began to swear and cuss him out. And then she began to curse his God. That old man got up from where he was sitting. That old hand reached out. It might have been quivering. But he pointed his finger at that woman and he said, "Lady, you can curse me all you want to, but you cannot curse my God." She said, "I will curse your blood. And she fell on the floor and began to choke. They carried her back into the judge's chamber where she expired. The husband came running out of the judge's chamber and said, "Your Honor, this property belongs to that couple. I'm here to tell you that God is going to do mighty and powerful and wonderful things for the water saved." I'm telling somebody, believe me when I tell you that God is ready to transfer funds from Anheuser-Busch, from Michelob and Marlboro to the water saved. Somebody who's not living for God right now is going to bring their lottery jackpot to the water saved. For the Lord says unto you, "I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty." If you don't want to receive that, you just sit there and be quiet as a church mouse right now. If you want to receive it, give a shout of praise. You say, "What in the world are you talking about?" I'll tell you. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." God is not going to allow you to outgive him. You don't have to be afraid. You're not going bust. You're not going down. This church is not going down. The trajectory of this church is going up. There is a message that God is sending to the water saved. And that is, "See, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. See, I have told them, and they are going to respect you. And see, when you leave this land, you will not go empty." Only promise God right now that you will not allow God's blessing to become a curse to you. Don't allow money to become your God. If riches increase, set not your heart by them. Money makes a great servant, but a horrible master. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And for those who are willing to do that, lift your hands. I'm going to pray a special financial blessing. I'm not doing this because I just decided to. I'm doing this because I feel the Holy Ghost right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, upon every one of these men and women here tonight, and boys and girls that are willing to walk in covenant with God and live for you and serve you with all their heart and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I declare a financial blessing upon this group of people. I declare that that old spirit of poverty has to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. It has to go right now. I've seen God work that spirit of poverty over before, and I declare he's working him over again right now in the name of Jesus. You are loose from that spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. I loose an abundance unto this congregation. I loose an abundance into this congregation, that the people of the world may see that you are blessing your people. You're still with me tonight? All right, I won't be but just another moment or so. Another thing that God said to the water saved in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 17. "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." In the Bible, The rod is a symbol of power. It's a symbol of authority. The word of God says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. God said to the water saved, you take the rod of God. You take this rod in your hand wherewith you shall do signs. And the Bible says in Exodus 4:20, Moses took the rod of God in his hand. You're going to have to assert yourself. God has already commanded you, take the rod of God in your hand. This doesn't come on cruise control. You can't sit back where it's safe and expect to see the signs and the wonders. You have to take the rod of God in your hand. You are commanded by God. Take the rod in your hand and go do miracles. Go do signs. There is no autopilot. Moses had to take it. He took the rod of God in his hand. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I think some of us have forgotten who's in charge. Who is in charge? God has put the water saved in charge. You take the rod of God in your hand and you go do signs. As long as you're willing to sit back and watch and fearfully wonder what's going to happen next and be scared to death of everything and everybody, or pray, God, somehow, some way, in your mercy, would you please do this or please do that? And God's looking at you and saying, you are Moshe. You are the water saved. I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. You take the rod in your hand and you go do signs. And from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Listen, I know that some of you sitting here tonight have taken a few hits. I know that some of you have gone through some hellish things. I know that you've been through some sorrows and some sadness, and I've prayed for you. I know that, and I know that some of you are now suffering from spiritual amnesia because you've taken a hit on the head and you've lost your memory of who you are due to the great fatigue that you're going through, and maybe constant pain that has been going through your body as you have been battling with different things. But God is speaking to you tonight and saying, no, 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 I have called you. I call you the water saved. You're the water saved, and I'm telling you to take the rod of God. You take it in your hand. You declare. Stop asking and start declaring. Stop begging God to do something. He's already commissioned you. He's already authorized you. He's already empowered you. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do not sit there and say, God, please, that's enough. Now in the name of Jesus, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take the rod of God in my hand and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. I take the rod of God in my hand and I say, be saved in the name of Jesus. I take the rod of God in my hand. I go to the workplace with the rod of God in my hand. I go to school with the rod of God in my hand. I go to the business place with the rod of God in my hand. I am Moshe. I am the water saved of 2022. I am telling you what God gave me to tell you. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose shall be loosed in heaven. I say unto you, verily you shall bind on earth. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm not done preaching yet. Just listen a few more moments. You want to be careful that the things you loose. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Just like you can lose good things, you can also lose bad things. Well, I don't know about that. If God were to open the windows of heaven, might that be so? I don't know. I don't really agree with that pastor. You know, he, Mr. Reagan made a statement many years ago, Ronald Reagan. He said, a Russian came into the Oval Office. And they were talking. And Ronald Reagan said, there's a difference between your country and our country. He said, how so? He said, in my country, a guy can walk into this room, slam his fist on my desk, and say, Mr. Reagan, I do not like the way you're running this country. The Russian said, well, I can do that too. I can go into the office of Mr. Gorbachev. I can slam my fist on the desk and I can say, I do not like the way Mr. Reagan is running the United States. I'm here to tell somebody that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your biggest enemy, remember, is not the devil. Your biggest enemy resides between your ears. And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is going to change the whole game right here. You're going to walk out and you're going to say, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, God is saving, and you name him. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that God is healing my body. I've been dealing with a sickness in my body. I declare in the name of Jesus, healing is coming to my body. I declare to my coworker right now, in the name of Jesus, the healing of God is coming into your body. Some of you have seen miracles. It's a shame for us to sit back and doubt that God can do this after God has showed us over 29 years his miraculous working power. I'm embarrassed to stand before God and show disbelief when I've seen the deaf ear unstopped and the crossed eyes uncrossed and the color blinded healed. And I've seen all kinds of people be healed of various infirmities. How could I stand and hold my head up before God and show doubt right now when God has proven himself to be a great and a powerful God? And God has turned to this church. He's turned to the people who are water saved. And he said, take the rod of God in your hand. And I say unto you, go forth and do signs. All of this God gave me, and I'll give you another part, and I'm getting close now. Exodus 7:2, God speaks to the water saved. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. Pastor, God spoke to me right then. He said Moses had to have his brother. Moses couldn't do this alone. He had to have his brother. Moses, as great as he was, he needed his brother. I need my brother. You need your brother. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up to his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls. I want to tell you something. Have you ever noticed that when somebody begins to get sick, when somebody begins to battle the devil, the first thing the devil will do is try to isolate you from the rest of the body. You might as well hear me. When the devil decides to take you out, He knows he's got to isolate you from the rest of the body. He knows that 99 ears are going to point in his direction when that wolf starts sneaking up. He knows that when you're by yourself, he can come up behind you and there's no other sheep to bleat. There's no other sheep to warn you. But when he's going to take you out, he's going to try to give you good reason. That's one of the reasons why we've had this isolationism during COVID-19 is because the devil says, if I can isolate them, I can destroy them. But God said, no, I have made the water saved of God unto Pharaoh. Listen to me. Everybody look at Brother Stoops, because Brother Stoops loves you. I said this, I said what I'm going to say now this morning. I repeat it for emphasis. It is okay for you to get offended. I hereby give you leave to get offended. In other words, Jesus said, it is impossible that offenses will not come. Everybody's going to get a chance to get offended. If you haven't yet, just hang in there, baby. It's coming. It is okay to get offended. It is not okay to stay offended. If you stay offended, you'll lose everything that God ever gave you. The joy that you once had will be gone. The hope that you had will be gone. And you will feel so alone and so isolated. Do not stay offended. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. And God spoke to me and said, your brother is your prophet. Your relationship with your brother is a predictor. It is a forecast of your trajectory, of your spiritual health. You need your brother to speak divine inspiration into your life at times. This is why the devil wants to keep you separated from your brothers, because you need a brother that loves you enough to walk up and say, that was a stupid thing you just did. And you don't say, well, I'll never give you a chance to talk to me like that again. Everybody needs to have a brother that has permission to tell you what you need to hear and not just what you want to hear. The young man was on the scaffold. He was working close to the pulpit. And as he was working, a wheel came off of the scaffolding. You that are in construction, you know what happens when a wheel drops off the scaffold. It tipped. And the young man began to fall. But as he came down, he broke his fall on the pulpit and then jumped to the floor. And with a wry smile, he said, the pulpit saved me. No, did you get it? The pulpit saved me. I can't tell you how many times I was ready to pull the trigger. I was ready to do something that I thought was really good. And the man of God got up and blazed his six guns and shot it all full of holes. And I didn't get up and walk out the door and say, well, that's the last time you're going to get to preach to me like that. You know what I did? I ran down to the altar, bowed my head at the altar, and I said, thank you, Jesus, that you love me enough to speak to me, to love me. And because of this, I am in the church today. I am now 50 years a licensed minister in the United Pentecostal Church International. And the reason I've been able to do that is because I've been saved by the pulpit. I've pastored smart men. I've pastored dumb men. I've pastored pretty girls, and I've pastored ugly girls. I've pastored college educated, and I've pastored high school dropouts. The only people that I've lost out of our church over the last 40 years that I've been pastor in Augusta are the people that would not make themselves accountable. It didn't matter how smart they were. It didn't matter how many degrees were behind their name. It didn't matter how intelligent. It didn't matter how beautiful they were. But if they were accountable, I could walk up and say, no. That's not what we want to do. We want to do this. And they say, yes, sir. And today, they're still shouting. They're still praising. They're still loving God. I haven't lost anybody that made themselves accountable. I'm just preaching as an older guy now, and I'm telling you, we're racing the rapture. Whatever you do, you want to be a part of the water saved. If you got some kind of an attitude, drop it right there. Leave it behind. We're getting ready to go on the rapture. Is there somebody you want to see saved? Is there somebody you want to see healed? Is there somebody you want to see delivered? Is there a loved one you want to see that's waiting on the other side? Then in the name of Jesus, you are the water saved. You need your brother. God said to his people, just before taking them out of Egypt, I will multiply my signs and wonders. The multiplication of signs and wonders began in the last days, immediately before their divine deliverance. And God spoke to me and said, the time has come to believe for a multiplication of signs and wonders. For I will multiply my signs and wonders. And I'm going to do it greatly. And I'm going to start now. That you may know that God has sent me. There will be signs and wonders that will take place right here in this service tonight. If you will receive what the Word of God, if you will understand that God is not out to get you, He's out to keep you. He's not out to knock you down. He's up to lift you up. He's not out to put you out. He's into raising you up and saving you. You got to understand something. Jesus is the only one in this room that's seen hell. And he saw it so vividly that he said, I'll go to the cross for the joy that's set before me. What are you doing? I'm going to save those people. I'm going to deliver them. They're not going to hell. That's a horrible place. They're not going to burn forever and be screaming, my God, my God. They're not going to be crying for a drop of water on their parched tongue. They're not going to have their flesh burning and melting forever and ever. I will go to the cross and I will save them. Is there anybody in the house tonight that wants to be saved? Folks, ladies and gentlemen, the Third World War is about to begin at any moment. But before it happens, I believe that Jesus is coming for his church. Don't be one of the people that gets left behind, but be the water saved that God has called you to be. Some of you can go out on the streets. You're bold as a lion, and you can speak the word of God, and your brother will go with you. Some of you can go to the hospital and pray for the sick, and the sick will be healed, and your brother will go with you. Some of you can go into the colleges, into the schools, and speak the word of God, and your brother will go with you, and this building will not contain what the Holy Ghost is about to do. I say unto you, the water saved. I have brought you a message to the water saved. Rise to your feet. I love God too much to preach to you anything but what God gives me. Come to the piano, please. I love God too much and I want to be saved too bad to stand here and preach something that will tickle your ears and make you feel good. But I've come tonight with a word from the Lord for the water saved. And the things I have spoken will face you at the judgment unless you go in the rapture. You'll hear the words of this message again. You need your brother, your brother, your brother, your brother, your brother. I made you God and the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh. I've sent you. Take this rod and go do signs. What has to happen, God? God has to give you a fresh and a different paradigm. Some of you are still going around the place on the shoulder where there's crosses and flowers, and you're visiting it every day. You're putting fresh roses on the accident that happened in your life. You walk around and every few minutes you say under your breath, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And you drive back around and you put another rose on the pile of roses where the accident took place along the road of life. And you walk around and you say, oh God, would to God if I'd only known then what I know now. But God is calling you to the greatest miracles you've ever seen. And God is saying, you may not get this, but understand I use broken vessels. That no flesh may glory in my presence. Just to show you that God is the healer and the savior. No one has to come to you. Raise your hand and be healed. I command it. If you're sick, if you're infirmed, raise your hand and be healed. I take the rod of God in my hand and I go forth and I'm doing signs. In the name of Jesus, the water saved says be healed. Kidneys healed in the name of Jesus. Hearts healed in the name of Jesus. Necks and backs healed in the name of Jesus. Legs and feet healed in the name of Jesus. Shoulders and arms healed in the name of Jesus. When I name the one that you've been dealing with, I want you to begin to shout with a voice of triumph. I don't want you to ask God for anything. I want you to claim it. I want you to stand upon it. I want you to stamp your feet and say, that's it. I'm taking the rod of God in my hand. See, God has made me a God unto Pharaoh. I'm going forth into my community. I'm going to do signs. They're going to say, the God of those water-saved people is an awesome God. The lady is going to say, as you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. She's going to say, the pain's gone. I know I've told you some of these stories, but I was driving down Interstate 95, and it's just such a miraculous thing that happened. I called this Russian Orthodox lady, whom I had never met, who was suffering from breast cancer. No, it was cancer of the lungs. I said, ma'am, you do not know who I am. And I did not say, I'm going to pray and you might get healed. I'm so sorry this is happening to you, as many of my friends would have done. I just said, fooey on it. Let's be bold. Ma'am, you've never met me before, but I've called you to pray for you that you might be healed. She was a little startled. I said, are you ready? She said, I'm ready. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. The next thing I heard was, huh, 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 something hot is going down into my chest. Huh, it feels like I just drank a shot of whiskey. And God instantly healed a Russian Orthodox lady who had never one time in her life stepped into a Pentecostal church. Never one time be filled with the Holy Ghost. But God said, take the rod of God in your hand. I don't care what it looks like. Take the rod of God and go do signs. I am preaching to somebody right now that has to make a decision whether you're going to be in the rapture or not in the rapture. And it's your choice. I am preaching to somebody tonight who is going to have to make a decision. Are you going to be used of God or are you going to be left behind? Are you going to keep going around, 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 around the same old cotton picking, beaten path? Are you going to step out and say, oh, it's a new day. There's a new sheriff in town. Devil, I'm going to blow you away in the name of Jesus. I'm walking into the hospital. I'm expecting God to heal. When I get home, I'm going back to pray for a man on hospice that I have never laid my eyes on before. I'm going to walk into his house and I'm going to declare God's healing power to him. The greatest days of the church start now. You want to be a part of it? Come on. You don't want to be a part of it? See ya. But God has got a work he's going to do. And everybody, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. What are you saying? I'm saying it's time to step out with boldness now. It's time to quit showing God disrespect by doubting and disbelieving. I refuse to bring a red crimson blush to my father's face after he's shown me the miracles that he's done. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to take the rod in my hand and I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be delivered. In the name of Jesus, be saved. I'm going to pray for people and people are going to get the Holy Ghost. And so are you. You are the water saved. It's a message to the water saved. Every head's bowed for a moment. Every eye's closed. I'm only going to do this because I love you. I'm ready just to have a rejoicing and shouting time down here. But not everybody's in the will of God here tonight. And because I love you, I'm going to give you a chance to walk down to this altar one more time before the trumpet sounds. And you can say, God, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I know it might be a bunch of crackpots, but I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. And I'm preaching to somebody right now that needs to step out of where you're at and say, Father, before Brother Stoops heads back to Maine in the morning, I'm coming down to this altar tonight. And I'm committing my life to you. This is not just a revival that lasts for a few days. This is a change of direction for somebody in this building. This has been a life-changing thing for you. God has turned you around and pushed you into the right direction. Now, is there anybody in the house that wants a fresh start? not going to beg you. You know what's wrong with some of us? We don't want to humble ourselves before God. What are these people going to think if I walk down to the altar? Well, who cares? What I want to know is, what is God going to think if I walk down to that altar? I think He's going to say, He wants me real bad. She wants me real bad. Oh, this person wants to be used of God. You come down here, then you'll get more. There's an individual standing here tonight that you would really love to be used of God in a mighty way. If you'd walk down to the front and say, God, I want more like this little lady did. By these hands shall the sick be healed. By these hands shall people receive the Holy Ghost. Signs shall follow them that believe. Where are the Joshuas and the Calebs? We are well able to take this country. God, I want to serve you with all of my heart. I take the rod of God in my hand. Pastor Crawford, Pastor Brown, begin to work through this crowd. Let God lead you. There are people who are crying out to God. Let God give you laser vision right now. Quickly, quickly, before it's too late. Elders, in the name of Jesus, Jesus.